even to death. Now, I know that we think sometimes we've got it tough. We have not got it tough. We're more blessed than any nation. We've got it easier than anybody else on this planet. There are people who live every single day wondering if this is going to be their last day because they don't even have any food. They don't have clean water. They know that if they do get thirsty enough to go and drink some of the water that's there, they're probably going to get sick from it because it's not clean. I mean, folks, we've got it made. These prophets, many of them died for the cause of Christ. They were either looking towards His coming or towards His second coming. Those in the Old Testament were looking for the day that would come that the Messiah would be here. Now those after the Messiah are looking for the second coming of Christ. They didn't think their own life mattered enough to not die for Him. To not give it all for Him. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 says this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus said, listen, what really matters is not what people say about you and not how you're put down or not how you may be persecuted. But what matters is following Me completely. The prophets did that. They were the ones who persevered. He even mentions Job in the middle of this. He says, "As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen that what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to turn back to the book of Job. Just go to Psalms and take a left. To Job chapter 42. Now, just to bring you up to speed in case you forgot this story or you haven't ever heard it, Job was a very wealthy man. And he had lots of sheep and cattle. And man, he had everything. And he had a big family. And Satan says to God, "Job only loves you because of all that you've given him. If you take everything away from him, he will curse you." God said, "No, he won't." He said, "Go ahead and take all those things away from him. You just don't take his life." So you know what? Satan did. He took away his money. He took away his possessions. He even took away his family except for his wife, who Job probably later thought, "Why didn't you just go ahead and take her too? Because all she's telling me to do is curse God and die." But I mean, Job was at the bottom of what we would think of. Everything he had was taken away. But you know what Job did? He continued to bless God and continued to follow Him. The scripture goes on to say he had four friends, and I say that word loosely, who would come alongside of him, these friends saying, "You know what, Job, you must have done something to make God mad at you. You must have done something to make Him do these things to you. It must be something in your life that you're not telling us about." Job just kept looking to God. There was even a time in Job's life where he cried out to God and said, "Lord, why is all this happening?" And then for three chapters, God says, "Job, where were you when I laid the stars into place? Where were you when I made the oceans come and go? Where were you when all these..." And he goes on and on and on. And by the end of it, Job's going like, "God, I don't even know why I said anything. I understand. You're greater than anything." Well, look at the last chapter in Job. Verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends. Now, these are the guys that he kept telling him, just curse God and die type things. I mean, you must have done something. You know, God must not really like you anymore or whatever. After Job prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again, and he gave him twice as much as he had before. And all his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before he came and ate with him in his house, they comforted and consoled him all over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. And the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. He had also had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, the third Karen Hoppuk. And now in all the land there were found no women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 more years, and he saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so he died full of years. Now let me ask you a question. If Job had just given up and thrown in the towel and listened to his wife and cursed God and died, would we be reading this kind of stuff about him? No. The picture here is that Job says, Lord, whatever happens, whatever has happened, whatever will happen, I will still serve you. No matter what. No matter what. Those who persevere. You know, the Greek word here is epimeno. And When I read through this and I read this the substance of this word in Greek, it reminded me of something that's so strong in my life right now. It's not as strong as it needs to be, but something that God just continues to say to me. The Greek word is epimeno, which means to stay, to remain, to not give up. John 15:5, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, says this: I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Now that word remain in me is meno, a part of this word. It means to stay and not leave. Jesus is telling all of us. He's saying to each one of us, listen, come to me, all you are hungry and thirsty and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying to every single one of us, if you'll just come and stay and not leave, you will be blessed and you will bear much fruit, because if you're cut off from me, you could do nothing. You see, folks, James is saying the very same thing. He's saying, listen, don't give up. Persevere to the end. Don't lose your patience. Just keep on going. Even though it may seem like you're never going to get to the finish line, you will. And when you get there, you will be seeing the one who's given everything for you. Stay. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says it like this: be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will what? Never leave you or forsake you. He never will. So James is telling these folks, listen, don't give up. Keep on. Keep your faith based right where it needs to be based, right in the midst of the Father. And don't leave. I want you to see lastly today the evidence of patience. You see, if you really are patient, if I really am patient, there will be evidences of it. And it's first seen in our integrity. Look at verse 12. Above all. Now, this word literally means this is priority number one. Now, if somebody listed out priorities for you on a chalkboard, you would look at number one and think, hey, that's really important. That's what James is saying. Above all, my brothers, do not swear by heaven or earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. In other words, James is saying, your integrity is above everything. James says the mark of one who follows Christ is their integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. See, this world, I think, has probably struggled and stumbled over one thing more than anything else, and it is those who claim to be Christians, who follow Christ, but they're duplistic in what they do. In other words, they say one thing, but they don't always do it. They do something else. And this world is seeing duplicity in so many ways, but that is not the picture of Christ. You see, folks, God's talking to me more than He's talking to you probably here, because it's so easy to say one thing and do something else. He is the way, He is the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father except by Him. And you might think, well, that's talking about salvation, and that's talking about our ultimate trip to heaven, right? Not necessarily, folks. When you stop and see what Jesus is saying, what He's saying is this: if you want to come and live with Me and stay, you have to do it by knowing that I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one else is going to come to the Father any other way except by coming to Me and staying there. Basing all of your trust and all of your faith in Jesus and Him alone. Now the question has to be asked, what is our trust? What are we basing our faith on? What are we basing how we are? I mean, we talked about it this morning in Sunday school. It's not because you have a bank account. It's not because you might have a nest egg. Because all those things are going to go away. What are you basing everything on? It has to be upon the rock, the foundation, the one named Jesus Christ. And because of that, James says, integrity will show through. You will say yes and you'll mean it, or you'll say no and you'll mean that. And then lastly, where is our allegiance? Since Jesus is our Lord, we say He's our Lord. Lord means He's in charge and we're not. Since we say He is our Lord, we must follow Him in every portion of our lives. If we don't, guess what it is, what it means? It means that He's not always Lord. Somebody else is. Us. And Jesus says, you should have no other masters before Me. You should have no other gods before Me. So, in our walk, and in our talk, and in our being, our allegiance must be to Him and to Him alone. And in doing so, we begin to lift Him up. Because people are going to look at you when you're full of integrity, and you're doing what God is saying you ought to do, and you're following Him wholeheartedly. People are going to look at you and go, why are you doing that? And you'll have the opportunity to say, because Jesus is Lord. And we'll be able to lift Him up. And people will be able to see His characteristics flowing through your life because the Holy Spirit is alive and well in you. And when that happens, what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, will begin to happen as well. He says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to Myself. Now, you may still be wondering, even though Scripture over and over and over and over and over and over and over again says that God doesn't wish any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You might still be thinking, well, God doesn't, I mean, He really just wants a few people, doesn't He? He's chosen His people, right? No! What does the Scripture say? If I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Well, why aren't all the people in Craig saved then? We're not lifting Him up enough, are we? Goes right back to, well, how am I not lifting Him up? Not being patient? Not being persevering? I'm not trusting Him in my life? I'm not counting it joy when I go through trials? All the things that we've been looking at in James, as James is saying, means, listen, folks, if you say you have faith, but you don't live in that faith, then do you have faith? James is such a practical person that he's just simply saying it in a black and white way. He's just saying, listen, if you say you love God, then live for Him. But if you don't live for Him, don't say you love Him. Why? Because it cancels you out. And it cancels His opportunities through you out. So for those of us who know what we ought to do, and we don't do it, to us it's a sin. Father, thank You for giving us this Word, because I need it, Lord. There's so many times in my life that I'm not patient, and I admit it, Lord. I want something different. I want something else. I want. But Lord, when I come down to the nitty-gritty of it all, I really just want You. I want You, Lord. I want to stay with You. I want to be in Your presence. I want to honor You and lift You up and exalt You so that others can see who You are. Father, we really are too pampered, and we have it so easy in this country. Even though we might think we don't, we really do. And there are places in this world that people are coming to Christ by the hundreds and thousands every day because they don't have anything else. And they realize their only hope is in You. And Father, You may have to bring this country to its knees for us to realize that someday. I pray it doesn't happen unless that's Your will, Father. And if it is, I pray, Father, we would be the ones who would lead people to Christ. But right now, right here, this day that You've given us, Lord, help us to understand the only way we can lead people to You is by being who You've called us to be and doing what You've called us to do. And I pray, Father, that would be the focus of our lives, that we would trust You completely, wholeheartedly, without any hesitation, and we would persevere. We would not give up. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we have our time of invitation, I just want to close this by sharing a couple of little examples in my own personal life. One is a kind of a newer thing in my life that I've gotten to know about, and I hope I don't put this person on a pedestal or anything, but I've noticed something. There's a young man that I got to know a couple years ago who, when he gets into a wrestling ring, and he's going up against somebody who's really, really good, he doesn't quit. He just keeps on. And I thought of that this week. Perseverance. Keeping on. That's you back there, Daniel, by the way. Keeping on. Not going to give up. Not going to let go. a picture for us to see. I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but I wear this little band on my arm. I've had it on now for probably 5.5 years. There was a man in my life that was a really good friend. His name was Bob. And Bob was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And according to the statistics, they say people who are diagnosed with stage 4 probably have anywhere from 6 months to 1.5 years to live. Well, Bob said, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to keep doing what I need to do. And he went through chemo and he went through radiation. He went through a whole lot of stuff. And he just kept on fighting. For 4.5 more years, he just kept on. This little band says on it, Living the Dream. That was always his, people would, when they'd ask him how he's doing, he wouldn't say, man, it's terrible, I'm having, horrible. He'd say, I'm living the dream. And the reason he meant so much to me is I worked with him at a golf course, and he was the head pro, and he was struggling through all of this, but he didn't really say anything to anybody, but he knew I was a pastor, and so he was going to go in for surgery, and they were going to do some resection. And he said, would you pray for me? And I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. And God gave me an opportunity. So I showed up at the hospital on the day of his surgery. And when I walked into the room, he about fainted, I think. He said, you came all the way up here to pray for me? And I said, yeah. So I prayed with him. And we talked about his relationship with Christ. And as a young boy, he said he had given his heart to Christ, but he never really followed through with that. He said, I'm ready to do that. And he said, when I get out of here, would you baptize me? And I said, I sure will. And we did. On Easter Sunday morning, we got to baptize him in our congregation. He didn't give up. He persevered. He kept on. Now, did he always do everything right after that? No. You know why? Because he was human just like we are. And we are going to stumble and we're going to fall. But he didn't give up. He kept on. About 3 years ago, he passed away. But it was the best funeral I was ever a part of simply because of this. I got to tell the story of how he knew that Jesus Christ was his personal Lord and Savior. And the only reason he kept going and saying, I'm living the dream, is because of him. He was lifting Jesus up. That's what God wants from us. That's what he wants from us. No matter what we're going through, and I don't know any of us in here that are going through that bad of a struggle right now. Maybe you're just having a struggle making ends meet. Maybe you're just having a struggle with your job or with a relationship or whatever it is. Folks, keep on keeping on. With your eyes fixed on Jesus, and he will be with you there all the way through it, and he will. We're going to stand and we're going to sing softly and tenderly. I'm going to be here at the front. If anybody wants to give their life to Jesus this morning, I'd love to tell you how to do that. If you'd like to join our church,